The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. We have reached the final hour of the week. We've had a number of guests on. For those of you just joining us, we were in Alabama on Wednesday interviewing a number of administrators and coaches and celebrities. Kirby Smart joined us. So did Nick Saban. And one of his comments is getting a lot of attention on social media. So we thought instead of us giving a revisit of what he said, let the audience hear it for themselves. So here it is. Make of it what you desire.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I'd like to see us be able to work back to is, you know, everything in college football has always had parity. You know, same scholarship, you know, same academic support, healthcare, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't think we have that balance right now, which could affect, you know, the parity of college football and college athletics as a whole. So, and I know we got a lot of good people working on it, and I'm sure they'll come up with a good solution for us.
Yeah, I don't know about the good people working on it, but let's hope they do get a solution. Let's get some reaction to what Coach had to say. And JK is up next.
What's happening, Paul?
JK, good afternoon.
Hey, man, I can't complain about nothing today. Hey, let me give my my brief rebuttal to little Nicky. Nick Saban didn't have any problems with what was going on in college football when he had his own personal Dodge dealership down on campus at UA. Now, all of a sudden, he has a problem with it. He wants parity, blah, 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 blah. I don't get it. If Nick Saban is kind of like one of those spoiled kids that lives in a mansion, he's got a pool in the backyard, he got the biggest swing set up in the backyard, but he gets mad because another kid comes in the backyard and beats him on the basketball court. It's just ridiculous what he's talking about. It doesn't make sense. But like I've been saying, and I'm going to keep saying it, this playing field is going to be level here pretty soon. Just like you said earlier, he has lost the last 3 out of 4 national championships. Now he doesn't have the number one recruiting class. He just got beat in the national championship game by 15 points. He should be complaining, but he doesn't have anything to complain about. He's just whining, in my opinion.
Well, I don't think he's whining. I think what he's saying is it was better when you couldn't buy yourself a championship. Or at least attempt
it's
to
not,
buy a championship.
And that's him today. He wasn't complaining about parity when he kept getting number one after number one after number one recruiting class and in the playoffs every year and win the championships.
Yeah,
and now
he's not getting number one recruiting class.
He's losing national championships.
He wasn't doing that illegally.
How do you know that?
Well, because I lived there and watched it very closely. I've never heard a legitimate, and I say legitimate, allegation against Nick Saban for breaking NCAA rules. I've heard a lot of people like you make stuff up, but I haven't heard anything that had substance.
Hey, Paul, just like I've been telling you, and you probably already know, they had NIL deals before NIL deals were even thought of. Handshakes, the envelopes in the mailbox, the Dodge Chargers, the Dodge Challengers. It's been going on, so don't complain now.
JK, you've just made an allegation, and your evidence for that is what?
Just go on campus, you'll find the evidence.
Don't talk to me like I just arrived from outer space. I used to be an investigative reporter. I know how difficult it is to make a substantive case. I've heard all the allegations like you have, and I've also looked into them, and you know, if you can tell me how you can make those allegations stick, I'll be at your house tonight.
Hey, Paul, can you tell me how they're so unbelievable? Explain
yeah,
that.
I can tell you that because Nick Saban walked into Alabama, and for the first time since Bryant in the early 80s, he took total charge of a school that already had a winning tradition. Alabama had already won 12 national championships. This wasn't some Johnny-come-lately. It already had great facilities. It had an athletic director in Mal Moore who let him run the program as opposed to other athletic directors who try to micromanage. He hired a great staff. He was just a incredible recruiter. He had coaches like Kirby Smart on the defensive side. He had coaches like Jim McElwain on the offensive side and later countless others, including Kiffin and Sarkisian. And he developed a program that was better than any program that's ever been.
All right, now let me get the other side of the story, since you said that so eloquently from Nick Saban.
I just didn't I've lived it, as you have. You lived in Alabama. You know what I'm talking about.
So, Paul, so you mean to tell me in the audience that Nick Saban hasn't done anything wrong, illegal, by this player, by that player? He's the only coach in college football that hadn't done it.
Well, now, you're asking,
are you saying
you're,
that
you're
sticking
asking
to
me
it?
A conflicting question. If you're asking me, do I personally believe that Nick Saban has bought a player, my answer is no. I do not believe that for a second. Now, if you're asking me, do I think that there's some booster in Mobile, Alabama, or in Gadsden, or somewhere else who hasn't broken NCAA rules? Of course, I mean, I know that. But you have to prove to me that person was acting as a booster of Alabama. Well, you didn't until last July 1st. Or doing that with the tacit knowledge of Nick Saban. And I don't think you can do that. And I'm not sure Saban has to tell people to cheat. In fact, I know for a fact that Saban met with his staff at the first meeting and told them he would fire anyone who he found cheating. And he also went to the boosters and told them to stay out of it, that he was running the program and not them. And he used far stronger language than I just told to you.
Hey, the next time you talk to Nick, give him a message from JK. Stop whining, get over it, and just deal with it.
JK, I will tell him that. I'll see him in 2 weeks, and I'll deliver that message personally.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. I may just call him tonight. I'm gonna call him up right now. How do we know he's not watching?
He don't watch us.
Probably not. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
Hey, Paul. How you doing this evening?
Bubba, we're doing great.
Let me tell you why I don't think Nick Saban has been responsible for buying players. To this day, I still think Nick Saban's his father's son. And if anybody's ever studied that aspect of Nick Saban, that should sum it up for them. I'll tell you what brings kids to Tuscaloosa is national championship rings. If I'm a five-star kid out of high school, would I rather go play at Vanderbilt or somewhere that's going to put a national championship ring on my finger and possibly develop me to go to the NFL?
Well, you're right.
You know what
else has enhanced Nick Saban's system? Is the year after he got there, Alabama didn't have a single player drafted. We know how that's changed. And when Julio Jones showed up and all those other great players and they started going in the first round, that program mushroomed.
It snowballed, Paul. I mean, it literally winning breeds winning, and it breeds a culture of bringing the best talent in year after year. I mean, once he started winning championships, Nick basically had the pick of the players and has had for quite a while. Other schools have caught up to that. But one thing I will say about this money situation, the money has always been there. Allegations or no, boosters have been involved forever. I mean, you can go back to SMU, Oklahoma, even Arian Foster played at Tennessee when he was in the NFL. He said, hey, I received money when I was at Tennessee. Everybody has done it booster-wise. Coach-wise, I think they've been coaches with integrity. They've been coaches that haven't had any. And it is, I just think Coach Saban's one of them that has had integrity.
And by the way, Bob, I totally agree with you. And I've been fortunate enough to have conversations with Nick Saban about his father. And his father still influences him today, many, many, many years after his passing. And Nick Saban also understands the competitive nature, but he doesn't need to do the blatant buying that some coaches have done. And I've seen it all. But I'm not a naive person. I know cheating has happened. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've looked into it countless times. But the only time a coach is going to get in trouble is when they are involved. And that's what a lot of people still are trying to wrap their arms around what happened at Tennessee under Jeremy Pruitt, because the allegations, and we don't know, they have not been adjudicated completely, but we're pretty serious. We'll take a break. We have a long way to go. Well, actually, we don't have a long way to go. We have 45 minutes. Let's keep it real here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Glad you're here with us. Let's grab some more calls. Richard in Maryville. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
First-time caller. I'll make this quick, but first I want to say I'm much more in Bubba's court than J.K.'s. I've been a longtime admirer of Nick Saban and watched him various places he's been, and I think he's just done a wonderful job in the SEC for all the reasons you mentioned a few minutes ago. I'm wondering, Paul, if his comment was as simple as this. First, he's obviously a competitor. He does things right. I wonder if his statement was basically about the SEC. In other words, he would like to see more equality in the league. In other words, fewer weak sisters. And I think that would be good for the league. It would be good for Alabama, because he would enjoy beating stronger teams. It's sometimes, I guess, harder to get the guys up and ready to go when they're playing a 2-8 team. When if there's more 6-5 or 8-3 teams than just 2 or 3 really dominant teams, it just seems to me that he may be speaking on that he would like to see that like it used to be in years past.
Richard, you may be right. I think this is one of those open-ended conversations where you can interpret it a lot of different ways. And naturally, if you don't like Saban, you're going to interpret the way you want. But as he said it, I was struck by the word parody, but he didn't really I understood the spirit of where he was going. And you also have to understand he's somebody that is at the very end of his career. And you do get reflective on when things were simpler. And I can tell you he does not like the idea of money influencing the locker room in relation to discipline. He had a serious problem last year with one player that he has told friends he had never dealt with before in his entire career, where no matter what he did, no matter what discipline was enacted, the players simply just didn't care. And that is a result of the current state we are in. And I think he also resents that players that maybe would have normally come to Alabama to get into that system and that process now they have their hand out and are going wherever the highest bidder is.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Could be. I think Alabama is one of the top 3 or 4 schools in the entire country that really good players want to be on the team.
Absolutely.
And I think that's going to continue as long as Nick is there at Alabama.
No, you're right. Richard, really glad you called in. Thank you very, very much. Kevin is in that same area, Knoxville. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, Paul. Like the previous guy, first-time caller, but I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Just have a quick question. I saw where college basketball was going with the making top teams play each other towards the end of the year. Do you think college football will ever get to that, or is there just not enough weeks in the season to have that happen?
No, they're not. You can do that. I mean, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, that you would have some great intersectional games in November. I remember being in South Bend probably 30 years ago, maybe a little longer. Alabama was going playing Notre Dame. You had Penn State. But that just doesn't work anymore with the advent of the SEC championship game. You see Florida State. That's the outlier. But most conferences have gotten far, far away from that. Marcus is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Marcus.
Yes. What I believe about with Nick Saban and his purity, I believe he loves projects. Going back from where he was at Michigan State, he loved the process of building them to where they were able to get out of dormance to where people would recognize him. And then whenever he got to LSU was they were dead. They were going 4-8, 3-9. They were firing coaches. Saban got there. He saw something in LSU. He saw that he could build something in Baton Rouge, and that's what he did. He built LSU to what it is today. If Saban never came to LSU, LSU most likely would never have that 07 national championship. LSU most likely would have never played in the 2011 national championship game. LSU would be, if you want to call, in the conversation, but they wouldn't be playing in it. Since Saban got to LSU, he built that program up. He leaves to go to the NFL. He comes back to college, goes to Alabama. He came back to college. He saw Alabama as a project that he could build up to back to where they were with Bear Bryant and the glory days. He saw that opportunity. He built Bama to what it is today, or rebuilt it back.
Yeah, I think the key word there, Marcus, is rebuilt it. But Alabama was in dire straits when he got there. But what they needed more than anything was one voice. They had too many people trying to cook the dinner. What an afternoon this has been with Kirby Smart and Saban. Certainly the Saban comments getting quite a bit of run. We're not done yet. We still have 30 minutes remaining. We have some baseball as well. For those of you on the TV side, we'll stay on the ESPN Plus app and radio. We hope you enjoyed the game.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. We are here for 30 more minutes, and we appreciate you sticking around with us. As we go into overtime, let's check in with Swami in Tennessee. Swami, good afternoon.
Well, hey, big guy, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Swami.
Well, Paul, about this NIL. I really don't care what Coach Saban says, or for that matter, any other coach about this NIL, because they really don't know. Really, I'll be brief on this. What I think is they just need to let this thing play out for about 5 or 10 years and just see what happens, you know, how good or bad it is. Because we're just, you know, we're always too quick to try to change policy on something. And that's really all I got to say about that, Paul. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Swami. You be well. Thanks so much. Let's talk to Joe next up in Virginia. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How you doing tonight?
Joe, we are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, listen, full disclosure, I'm a Tennessee graduate. In fact, I was in school when you were the sports editor for the Daily Beacon.
Oh, my. Well, what a treat that must have been as a student to have such a fledgling writer entertain you a couple of times a week.
Well, as we referred to it, the Daily Bacon.
Well, I hope you prospered from your Tennessee education.
Well, I certainly did. Hey, I want to weigh in on this Nick Saban thing, but just give you a little background. Now, I know that Tennessee fans that are probably under the age of 50, they want to beat Florida and Georgia. That's what they consider two big rivals.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, it was the third Saturday in October. We wanted to beat Alabama more than anything. But we respected Alabama, and that was always a classy game, going back to when General Nealon was coaching. And while I want to see us beat Nick Saban before I die, the reality is I agree with him. This NIL thing is going to ruin college sports because the schools – like Texas A&M, that have these boosters that have all kinds of money, they can pay these huge deals to the recruits. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't A&M, didn't they have the number one recruiting class?
No, that is correct.
Yeah, well, I wonder why. So all I'm saying is I absolutely agree. The NCAA, the idiots there, have got to put some kind of limits on this. Otherwise, it is going to destroy college sports.
Well, Joe, I hear you loud and clear. The problem is there is very little they can do right now because they did so little in the years leading up
exactly.
to it. And I think it's easy to say what everything you've said, but I blame the people that are in charge. And the people that really are in charge are the presidents of universities who really have great mm-hmm. influence on how the NCAA operates. And they all, they're all in Knoxville and Nashville and everywhere else running their universities while they let this absolute loser named Mark Emmert destroy the NCAA.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that point. And I think the NCAA actually just didn't think it would happen. And if they did think it was happening, they didn't know how to deal with it, which we've obviously seen. They didn't know how to deal with this.
Well, I don't know how they couldn't have seen it when this Ed O'Bannon case was decided a number of years ago by the Supreme Court. It was the template for what this is all about. He was simply trying to recapture money for his name, image, and likeness when he played. And everybody laughed
right.
it off. And it's been a ticking bomb for 8 or 9 years now. Hey, thank you very much for saying hello. Appreciate it. More of your phone calls right now if you want to call us at 855-242-7285. You can chime in before the week is over. Justin is in Auburn, and you are next up.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, Justin.
Hey, I'm sure you don't remember, but we've met a couple times, or we've talked a few times, but I just wanted to say that I think Saban's full of crap. Every time that the guy got beat by Malzahn and Auburn every other year, he had a rule changed. I mean, the guy is full of crap. He's a hypocrite. Anytime one of his lower players, the second or third string, that breaks a rule, you know, he gets kicked off the team. First string guy, one of his primary guys he got out of the transfer portal just got busted for weed. A few years ago, if that guy wouldn't have been, a starter, he's probably kicked off the team. He's a hypocrite, and he's full of crap.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Anything else you want to add here, Justin, before you start the weekend?
No, I'm good, Paul.
Okay. Hypocrite and full of crap. Nothing gray about that, is there?
No, that pretty much covers.
We'll leave it there. Keith is up next. Hello, Keith.
Hey, Paul. I haven't called you since I was dodging mustard bottles at the Ole Miss game last fall.
Well, that was you, yeah. Huh?
I didn't throw them. I was dodging them.
Well, yeah. Prove it.
Yeah. I was just calling to talk about the current state of Tennessee football. And, you know, 51 years old, lifelong Vols fan, and live and die with the program, mostly dying here in the last few years. But excited about the future. And I guess I'm excited because I think maybe we're maybe stepping into the 21st century a little bit. You know, the coach is offensive coach, Josh Heupel. I think our athletic director, Danny White, is excellent in making improvements to not only the football program, but all the other programs. And, I guess I'm not calling to ask you a question. I'm just calling to kind of just get something off my chest, because I know it's easy for us Vols fans to get stuck in the past and talk about Peyton Manning and the good old days and 1998 and everything. And but when I look back and everything that's going on, you know, I kind of think that we won that 98 championship in spite of Coach Fulmer. Instead of him, I love him, but it seemed like when we got other coaches in the league like Saban and Urban Meyer and Mark Richt and that, you know, people that were just more offensive minded. But I'm excited about the future of the program. And I just am I on the right path there?
I think you are, and I feel better about Tennessee than I felt in a long time. But you and I and everyone who cares about that school has been down this road before. So I think there's a reluctance to cash in too quickly. But it does seem better. And I think the important thing here is that Tennessee cannot afford any more upheaval. That's the reason why it's been so bad. And I'll spare the audience all the things that have happened, but you know what they are.
I agree.
And it's not only a football coach, it's the athletic director, it's the chancellor. It's been I was about to say something really ugly. I can't say that, but you know what it's been.
Cautiously optimistic, Paul.
I feel good too. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. That is great. Great to hear from you. Let's check in with Brian, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Brian, we are doing great. Thank you.
That's fantastic. I'm down in downtown Tuscaloosa, fixing to go to the Obama Theater.
Ooh.
To watch a ballet for my little granddaughter.
Wow, that has to be a very historic place.
It definitely is, as you very well know. But I had told your pre-caller that I was curious. Are you sure Saban, I listened to your interview, you sure he said parity or parody.
I'm not sure.
If you think of all the spoofs around, yeah. I mean, he could have been saying, golly, you remember when Florida was this and now they're that?
If I had been a better interviewer, I would have stopped him and said, how is that? And secondly, you realize how college football could find more parody, don't you? And he would go, well, what is that? And I said, why don't you retire? And it would be a lot better off. But I was not about to. Once Coach Saban starts talking, my theory has always been just get out of his way.
You listen. I understand. I remember the time it was on live TV. I can't remember what it was, but you sort of got in a got in his way.
Let me say this, Brian. It was more than sort of. It was about a player that many people thought should have been suspended and. I didn't understand the backstory, and there was a lot going on, and he became enraged, and I committed a cardinal sin of interrupting him. He exploded, and then I committed an even greater cardinal sin of interrupting him after he interrupted me interrupting him.
I saw it live. It was It was interesting.
It was a moment that I think I finally lived down, but it was as they say in the trade, it was great entertainment.
Yeah, very well was.
I only wish the audience had seen what happened afterwards, though. And there was actually some video after the interview ended, which was bad enough. He continued berating me, using the strongest possible language. And then finally, the only reason that ended was because we were on live television and they had to get him out of there because I think another guest was coming in. So about an hour later, I'm walking out in the main, like in the area, I'm walking by like the men's room and Saban comes out and sees me and continued to berate me. But the funny, I don't know if I've told this for a long time, but finally about an hour later, I get a call and it's Nick Saban, who I know had been put up to this because once he got in the car to go back to Tuscaloosa, he realized the meltdown that had occurred nationally. And he very sheepishly told me that it was okay, that he had taken my head off on national television. He wasn't mad at me.
Well, that was a true parody, not a parody.
Yeah, that was.
All right, I just mentioned, go back and listen to the tape.
I will.
Make sure he said parody.
I'm going to. I'm also going to listen to Larry. Larry, did you hear what Saban said earlier?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
Well, then you can catch it on the replay, Larry. What's going on?
Nothing. What did he say?
Well, he wanted more parody in college football.
Parody? Ooh. Well, I don't know.
Larry, not to give you the word of the day here from Webster's, but you know what that means, don't you?
Well, hell no. Oh, man. I don't know what parody means. A parrot? I don't know. Parody,
P-A-R-O-D-Y, is something farcical, like this phone call. Parody, P-A-R-I-T-Y, is an even playing field,
like
that Alabama would be on the same level as everyone else.
Oh, no, we ain't no parody. Hell no. We ain't no level with some everybody. We above that. We above parody. We way up parody. We uptown parody. We ain't no.
So, Larry, how are you doing, by the way? I was probably within about 5 miles of you the other day. I was in North Shelby.
Yeah, well, man, why don't you stop by with a pop the top, man? Come on. Hell, I'm doing good, man. I'm surprised, but I've been cutting grass, weed eating, and fishing, and feeling pretty dang good, man. But I know that I remember that little deal with you and Saban, buddy. I mean, you look like a band of gypsies moved out of your britches when he got through. I know that. but it, oh, so I'm
you,
sure
you thought,
it,
you thought that was fun, you thought that was funny, Larry? I mean, trying to get an honest answer out of Nick Saban?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. That's the job. And his wife probably got on to him because she did. Like,
I heard from her. She told me she wanted to make sure I wasn't upset. And how could I be upset? I mean, I was on every television program in America showing that clip. I think Oprah had that clip on of Saban screaming at me. And she said her way of making me feel better, she said, Paul, I think you got a lot out of it. And Nick got a lot out of it because he stood up for his players.
Well, you know what, man? You stood up for yourself, too.
I stood up to Nick Saban, and has anyone done it since? I don't think so.
Hey, man, it's like that guy that called in calling Saban names. That guy's a little peanut, man. He left off one thing about Saban.
Larry, I have to admit, you made me nervous when you got to P-E-N, but you said peanut, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
peanut.
I thought I heard you slur something else.
No, I won't. I'm being nice. He said peanut. He's like a peanut with a little mouth. Okay. Man. The only thing he left off about Saban is filthy rich. So
Saban is filthy rich, you're right.
Yeah, I know I'm always right, ain't I, Paul?
But Larry, you're a wealthy man too, aren't you?
Yeah, man, I got a brand new Silverado, live on the river, paid for, fishing boat, paid for.
How do you beat that?
Got me a nice income, about 50 grand a year. Hell yeah.
50 grand a year?
Well,
living on the river.
Yeah.
Where is that coming from? That's good bread.
With no tax on it. How about that?
Man.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Yes,
I know I'm late for a break here. How do you make 50 grand a year? Is that pension or?
Hey, it came from the old days with the mafia. No.
Oh, okay. Can you get me one of them deals? We have to go to a break. I know everybody would like to hear about Larry's 401k, but we will come back with more after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
And the clock on the wall is ticking, and we are going to try to close the show in proper style.
What do you mean? What's the clock ticking for?
Well, we don't.
Ain't no such thing as time.
We're late on Friday afternoon, Jerome.
Well, look, I see y'all out here, y'all just hating on that nigga today, man. Y'all just out the train today. You hear me? Everybody hating. You know what? But you know what? From that nigga being arrogant and cocky and being a rat, you know, he deserve all that. I mean, he deserve every damn thing he getting. You hear me? If I whoop somebody ass every time I turn around, man, I'd be there too. You hear me? That's the only reason why they mad. See, you know, nobody call their coaches no name. You hear me? We don't give a damn about that coaches, Sambo. You hear me? Y'all give a damn about us. You hear me? You got J.K. on here. Hey, hell, J.K. been saying the same damn thing since he was Bama hater, Sambo. You hear me? He want to talk about them Dodge Charge and Alabama Chiefs. I remember damn Miami, they couldn't even hold their heads up back in the damn 80s while them damn ropes they were wearing around their neck. You hear me? They were the Lamborghinis they were driving. They damn sure weren't working at McDonald's or Walmart. Yeah, but he want to talk about Alabama, they damn Dodge Charge. But anyway, how you doing today?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm doing great.
I really don't give a damn, but I'm just asking to be polite.
Well, thank you.
Now, go ahead.
No, you have all the time you want.
Well, I got time. I got plenty of time. God gave me plenty of time. Y'all better pray. And then you talking about some Georgia fan text you talking about the Shields pad in the middle of the damn night. What the hell should he talk about? Huh? You lost his damn mind. You just told him five bucks in the text, email, however it may be. Man, you lost your damn mind talking about damn ship passing the night. Y'all looked up and won a damn championship. Y'all need to.
Good night, Jerome. We'll see you Monday.